All right, there we go. Are we good? 10 o'clock? Okay. All right. There's not a Strange Universe opening tonight. It's going to be me. So, if you can hear me. Can everybody hear me? We good? Monty?
Yes.
Wave? Oh, yes. Hello. Hello, Monty. How are you, son?
I'm good.
Oh, you jolly old picnic rug, you. So, it's 1976. 1976. It's, I think, December 16th. We were just getting ready. We were just getting through finals. And I was at the University of Southern California, fight on. And I just transferred out from Stanford and just met a super hot girlfriend at a dance, which was actually, I still remember it because it was September 21st. And it was exactly, and we met actually dancing to the song by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And you remember the 21st night of September? We actually met dancing to that song. It's very strange. So, so we decided to go to the movies. Oh, Monty, that's a very dashing photo of you, by the way. Look at that handsome guy. You look like you got one of those Viking haircuts that's kind of shaved along the side. But it's a very dashing photo. So, we kind of have you. I came up with an idea for a TV series about a girl, a shield maiden from Viking times that falls through a bunch of magic runes and winds up in modern day Beverly Hills. And I think I'm going to call it Megan, Warrior Princess. What do you think?
Sounds very Outlander, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the same Outlander kind of thing, but a comedy, obviously. So, shield maiden in modern day Beverly Hills, like playing football and going to the prom. All right, so we go to dollar movies, all right? They still have, at USC, by the way, they still have movies for a dollar. And you can go to Bovard Auditorium, which is where they shoot all the commercials and whatever else. And you go to Bovard Auditorium, and so we're just sitting there waiting to see, it was 76. I think we were waiting to see Jaws again or something, which I'd seen like 70 times. But my girlfriend at the time had not seen it. And she was terrified to see it because she was from Newport Beach, and she didn't want to go swimming after seeing Jaws. So, you know, that's what it was. So the lights go down, and again, this is 1976, mind you. This is December of 1976, and we brought some snacks or something, and we're snuggling up, getting cuddly somewhere in the middle of the theater, and suddenly this comes up. So we don't know what's going on. We're just like, what is this? Some kind of preview or something? And then it says, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And now, John Williams is a UCLA guy, mind you. Boo. And he wrote the Star Wars theme knowing that it would come immediately after the Fox theme. So he made it fit with the actual opening of Fox now that Disney's bought everything. You don't hear that classic, iconic thing. Now, we didn't see the crawl. We didn't see any of this stuff. And what happened was is that we are then treated to a six-minute trailer, a preview of Star Wars. And we're flipping out because it ends with, like, the hyperspace Millennium Falcon going through space. And we're just gobstopped, poleaxed. We're just sitting here going, oh, my God, things are just flying back and forth and zipping around and swords lighting up and a guy going... So, amazingly enough... The music ends, the music ends, and we lose our minds. I mean, we're just like, yeah, everybody's yelling, screaming, and going crazy, and going, what's up? And somebody goes, dude, George is here. And we went, what? And I was sitting, I think, in an aisle seat or something, and I said, don't you wait here. And I jump up, and I run to the back of the theater, and George Lucas is sitting in the back of the theater. And he just wanted to see the reaction. He wanted us to be, the kids at USC, he wanted us to be the first people to see the trailer and kind of gauge the audience reaction. And of course, we went insane. And you have to remember that the original Star Wars, it was budgeted at $7 million. They finally gave the movie another $2 million because they were going to scrap the whole thing. So the whole movie cost about $9 million. And that was when Alan Ladd Jr., whose daughter, Diana, actually went to USC and was actually in a sorority with my girlfriend in Alpha Phi because they're all for free. And we went back and just started messing up his hair and patting him on the back and shaking his hand. And I got to be the first one up there going, George, wow, this looks great. This is really fun. And I had been a Lucas fan for a while, even in high school, because we actually organized a big dance and a big week where everybody at the school actually went to the theater to go see American Graffiti. You know, where were you in 62? Now, again, this is like 72, 74 or something, so it wasn't that far beyond it. But you, of course, saw how the propaganda of the media and music and Vietnam and, you know, damn hippies just changed everything. And, you know, we had 50s dance contests and did the whole thing where everybody went and we had like a dance contest at the theater and all this. So, but just to remark on, May the 4th be with you. And I sent a thing out and it's got my, if anybody wants to see it, I think it's up on the website, but my cat was very angry being dressed up like Grogu. And, so he's up on the website. So he's Shalu Gru. And he's wishing you a May the 4th be with you. What's that? Oh, it's on Facebook. Anybody else go to my Facebook page. Come on down with the millions of other people that are on Facebook. But so we just went nuts. And it was great to see George because George had been through so much hassle and so much pain with it. It was Alan Ladd Jr. as the head of 20th Century Fox who actually stepped in and saved the movie because they were like, look, we're going to can this. This is not going anywhere. And, you know, it's costing too much money and whatever else. And they said, what do you think, Alan? And Alan said, I will personally be responsible for this movie. I will personally take on any liabilities or whatever else. And of course, by doing that, the Fox executives were like, yeah, sure, here. You can take this turd if you want, you know, because we think it's going to bomb. And, of course, Alan Ladd then became one of the richest men in Hollywood and started Ladd Film Productions, which actually has the Liberty Tree as its logo. And I think they kept all the toy rights. Oh my God, can you imagine? So he kept all the toy rights. He literally stood up in a meeting and said, I think this is going to be one of the greatest movies ever made. And they were like, you're high. Now, before Lucas's wife got a hold of it, she won the Academy Award for film direction. And before she got a hold of it, and before they really rewrote kind of everything in the film, they probably was going to be a bomb because the whole thing was shot kind of as a war documentary. And the very last sequence, the last six-minute sequence, where they eventually destroy the Death Star. I'm not wrecking it. Is that too soon? I'm not wrecking it for you. Am I wrecking it for you, Monty? Because I know you probably haven't seen it.
Yourself. What? Oh, man, I can't even watch. Thanks, Morton.
I know. I just wrecked it for everybody.
And spoilers.
You'll be impressed by the power of this fully operational radio station. So, or not. So the crazy part about this was is that made us literally, the theater wasn't even full, but we were the first, the very first, and I know I should be proud of this or not, but we were, I swear upon the name of Jesus and Buddha, that we were the very first Star Wars fans, the very first ones that, of course, it was later renamed Episode 4 and New Hope and all that other stuff. But we knew, actually, from George that he had written 9 of these things, and he had the whole thing, he had the whole story arc all mapped out on, 11 by whatever it is, the legal pads. And actually, I'm not sure if he ever published them or not, but we knew there were going to be 9 episodes, and this was kind of starting in the middle. And after the movie, actually, I don't know, like I said, I think it was Jaws or something, the actual movie that you spent $1 to see, my girlfriend and I ran across to the bookstore just across the way, across the street from Tommy Trojan. And even though it was late, the bookstore was open because it was finals, actually, I think, and the bookstore was open till 11. And we went in and we said, is there a book? Is there like a Star Wars book? And like, yeah, it's right here. And there it was, Star Wars, paperback by George Lucas. And a bunch of us bought them and read them. And so for the next 5 months after that, until it opened in May, I'm not kidding, I was making, like dinner reservations because there was nothing to do at USC. At USC, you're literally in the, we used to play a game in my fraternity, which was the Delta Tau Delta house, and, we called it Naked Prey. Because what it was is you took one of the pledges and you got to wear your shoes and your tidy whitey underpants, and then you had to run, from there down to the liquor store down in Washington through the ghetto, through the jungle. It was called Naked Prey was the name of the game. And of course the black guys would pelt you with stuff. And actually they thought it was pretty funny. And you had to like buy a bottle of bourbon or whatever to bring it back to the house. And of course risk your life. And, so the crazy part was there was just nothing to do at SC. So we would always go over to Westwood in enemy territory with all the UCLA scum, and which they really are. You learn three things in Los Angeles, and Bonnie's probably going to be offended with this, but you're down in Australia, aren't you? Are you in Australia, Bonnie?
Yeah. Melbourne, Victoria, hellscape.
Okay. All right, so there you go. So my motto became never trust anybody that smokes too much pot. Never trust the English, and never trust anybody that went to UCLA. So it was funny about the English thing because my grandmother was from Ireland, and she used to tell all these jokes about, God created the sun, so because you can't trust the fucking English in the dark. And you know why America was heaven? Because you got off the boat, they gave you a gun, and they told you to shoot the fucking English, which was very funny. So I'm sorry, my grandmother was a little Irish president, we got to play some Monty Python later, I guess. So the idea was is that we bought the book and read the book, and so I would make dinner reservations in Westwood, and I would say, yes, I'd like a dinner reservation, please, for tomorrow. Yes, what's the name? Well, it's for a party of eight, and my name is Skywalker, Luke Skywalker. And the girl would go, oh, wow, what a pretty name. And I said, little did she know that Luke Skywalker would soon become famous forever. And now, of course, Disney bought everything Lucas, which is just sucks. It's really a shame because they just completely screwed it up. It got to the point where I think Lucas didn't even, they had an opening of Star Wars Land at Disney, and Lucas refused to even speak to Bob Iger because they had just murdered the Star Wars franchise. It was funny though, because Harrison Ford was there, and they've got a full life-size mock-up of the Millennium Falcon. And Harrison Ford was dressed up like Han Solo and alive, actually, and went and they were trying to start it up, and he went and pounded on it and said, come on, Chewie, come on. And he said, this is for you, Peter, because Peter Mayhew had just died, who, of course, was the actor that played Chewbacca. And so it was good fun. But but of course, when they sold it, the messed up part about this is, and I don't know who to blame. I don't know if I should blame Disney or if I should blame J.J. Abrams, who completely monkey screw the Star Wars franchise. He actually made Star Trek better, and he was not even a Star Trek fan. He was a Star Wars fan. But Lucas came along and said, you know, I have the movies written. I mean, I have episode 7, 8, 9 there. I've got them all laid out. I've got the scripts written. I've got the whole thing. And they basically just patted George Lucas on the head and said, oh, yeah, thanks, George. Thanks for playing. Not today. We're not going to do this with you. And so Lucas has realized that he sold his baby to gypsy slavers, in essence, which is the Disney people. And I still remember watching the last Star Wars movie at the end where that girl, Daisy Ridley or whatever, and she goes, yes, I'm a Starwalker, and everybody in the audience is like, no, you're not. You're Palpatine. You're the bloodline of the freaking Emperor. Shut up. Just saying it at the end of the movie. Oh, by the way, where is the real nephew of Luke Skywalker and the son of Princess Leia and Han Solo, Ben Solo? He's climbing his way out of a ditch while Daisy Ridley fights the Emperor and beats him. And, the whole thing is just terrible. And you talk to the real fans, they're like, this is not canon, it's not canon. And, of course, you argue with those people and say, you know, it is all made up. It's a movie, after all, and they just made stuff up. So there you go. So that's, May the 4th be with you. There was a huge thing at Disney today. Everybody dressed up. They had a thing at Disneyland. I had too much to do because I'm leaving tomorrow for San Francisco for the New Living Expo. So if you want to say hi. And I had some medical challenges today as well. Just, I'm just feeling sick and dizzy all the time. Yeah, you gotta love cancer. But so there you are. Now tonight we're gonna try to Monty. How do I contact you more privately? Okay, if I need to get you like a phone number to call, how would I do that? If I do it in here, wait, I just go to chat. Stand by. Okay. Oh, there you are. Okay. Is this chat?
If I can actually call out the title, so we'll have to wait and see. So
I have to do it?
I believe so. Because, oh, well, I'm cheap. Let's be fair.
Okay. What? Oh, because you'd be calling from, oh, my.
Yes. I'm, you know where Saturn is? I'm about 3 parsecs beyond that, and that's Australia.
Well, you're like out there on Titan or something, or Europa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Well, I had hoped. Man, I didn't even think about that. Okay, I'll see if I can add people from here. So we're going to have some legal experts on tonight. We're going to have Vanessa Victorious and Robert Kelly, who is the publisher of the Americans Bulletin. And no, I don't want that. So publisher of the Americans Bulletin. And I tried, of course, like a good radio host, to get a hold of them beforehand. But she wasn't around. So let me see what I can do. All right, so if I go to add people, let's see what I can do. Okay, search, add to group. Huh. Okay, so hold on. I don't think she has Skype because she's basically on the planet Kashyyyk and she lives in a tree with a bunch of Wookiees. So, oh my God, how can I know so much about Star Wars? All right, so here we go. And like I said, oh, wait. Okay, there she is. She's in my favorites. Let's see if we can get her here. Adding contacts. Oh. Added Bubbles Galore to this conversation. All right, so there she is. Now I just need to add her. I don't suppose you can hear me. So there's that. I believe
if you click on – sorry to interrupt. If you click on participants – you should be able to click on the phone icon because she's been added to the call.
Okay, the phone icon. So, okay, so there we go. Okay, now I'm afraid this will – okay, there it goes. It says I'm going to end call if I do that. It says end call if I click the phone icon, the red one.
Okay.
I'm such a Luddite. I mean, I wear wooden shoes and toss them into looms every chance I get, so because I'm trying to figure all this out. And, of course, I really want to thank Monty for – well, it's the middle of the day for you, isn't it? Aren't you on the other side of the planet?
Yeah, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, there you go. So it's you didn't have to take off work or anything, did you?
Oh, I'm unemployed, so no.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Of course, being unemployed means you work for Revolution Radio, okay?
So, yeah. I did take a journey today. I went to the kitchen, and yeah. I came back with some food. So
that's exciting. Wow. How was the refrigerator? Was it good?
Yeah, well, it's a terrible – there's a restaurant there, but apparently you have to get all the ingredients and cook it yourself. It's terrible service.
Yeah, it's terrible. Usually we have to play refrigerator Tetris because, you know, there's not enough room for the food that we buy. So you've got to play Tetris to see if everything fits. So there it is. All right, so Vanessa is not there, so although she has a Skype account. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call her again so you might hear her. See?
Please try your call again later.
This is what barbarians these people are. You basically just call them on the phone, and it just kicks you off to something. I'm sorry, she can't be bothered to take your message at the time. So,
it doesn't ring. Box that has not been set up yet. Please try your call again later.
Usually, if it doesn't ring, it's usually that it's been turned off because usually it rings and then it gives you an option.
All right. Well, I know, but it's just messed up. So we're going to have to vamp for a couple of minutes here. It will be worth it, actually. But just by introduction, Robert Kelly for years has published, I guess what you would call the premier newspaper. Americans Bulletin is a premier newspaper about, things that have to do with fighting the government, fighting for your freedom. She publishes a lot of stuff from Judge Anna Von Reitz out of Alaska. And, which again, I read Anna's stuff and I just go, wow, I wish I lived in this remarkable world that Anna lives in where you can write a letter and you can get courts to do things for you and all that. Because again, having gone through the legal system myself, And what it's been was every time I've dealt with these, quote, sovereign patriot people, they want a bunch of money. They want it up front. They get the money up front. They don't do anything for you. If they do something for you, they then it inevitably doesn't work. And you get completely mowed down, mowed over, and buried just with your head sticking out while they kick you like a soccer ball. And then they throw a tantrum, and then they blame you. They make sure it's, you know, your problem because, you know, you're not right with Jesus. You haven't set yourself up. You have no standing. You're a slave. You're just a slave. And you're like, fine, get me out of it. Well, it can't be gotten out of it. It's too late now. You had to set it up before you went to court. And, you know, you're just like, okay. And then they inevitably will throw a tantrum, complete tantrum, you know, effety, 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 effety. And then they ghost you, disappear. And no matter what you use, how much of the force you have, they vanish with all your money, almost inevitably. So that's what happens. And by the way, promising you that they can write literally the Ten Commandments, and they've been given the message from the great mighty finger of God up in the up on the top of the mountain, and you know, and of course you never get it, you never get anything, or they write reports for you or something, and just completely jack you around. Now, Vanessa, on the other hand, has actually been very successful with what she's done. She was a, because you got Robert Kelly on the one hand, if I can get a hold of him, you got Robert Kelly on the one hand, and then you've got Vanessa Victorious on the other hand. And Vanessa, she aided and abetted, I guess you could say, the Montana Freeman. So she was really on the inside of all this. Now, I'm not quite so sure that things worked out well for the Montana Freeman. I know Leroy Schweitzer, who was the leader of the Freeman, was, I think, imprisoned and chained up 23 hours a day, was given no exercise, no nothing, and he basically died in prison. The other Montana Freeman eventually copped to lesser pleas of, you know, I don't know, trespass or what have you. And by the way, the reason the Montana Freeman were not given as much press is because they had a township up in Montana, and they had elected themselves, one of their members as a sheriff, people that were, you know, they were going on with this, and they got in trouble because they were writing bonds, and they were writing bonds to, I think, people that made trucks and made farm equipment and what have you. And the challenge is that there is a bond process that allows you to discharge debt. But in order to do this process, you have to do it through an organization that can actually monetize the bond. So for example, if I said to Monty, you know, loan me $1,000, and Monty says, you know, get out, mate, hey, you know, that's $1,000. And then I try to repay Monty Federal Reserve notes, who loans me Federal Reserve notes. Hopefully not DNR, but and then I give him a bond. Well, Monty can't monetize that bond. There's nothing he can do with that bond. But you go to a bank, and what a bank does, and all banks are just criminal enterprises. The whole 16th Amendment, which created the income tax and everything else, was just a massive way to rob and steal. What they actually do is when you go in and borrow the money from the bank, that bank then accesses the Federal Reserve, where you have an account with the Treasury through your Social Security number and through all the bonds and whatever else on your card, and they go and borrow your credit. They basically, you know, chop off your fingers, cook them up, and feed them to you. And you walk out of the bank going, you know, ooh, yum, yum, let me have some more. How about a thumb? And you become the homeowner, and then they switch it around where they then put the lien on it, where you actually own the home, but they borrow your money. And because they if you write them a bond, they monetize that bond almost immediately. The challenge is that when they, if you try to use that, they'll go to the courts and just assume that people are too stupid. Specifically, they are actually that they're too stupid to realize that the bank has borrowed your money and then is extending you your credit and is charging, you know, and makes a fantastic profit off that. And if you then pay off the bond, or not pay off the bond, but then you take the bond into court. The banks will never produce it ever because they have to produce actual original documents in court. I mean, it's a law. It's 18 U.S.C. You can actually beat Banks with this. 18 USC, 418, 419, 420, or 420 to 425 or something is the actual law that you can beat the courts with. Also, you can – I had a guy who was going to – here's an interesting novel idea. He was going to home auctions. And everybody was saying, you know, 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000. And just before the guy said, going once, going twice, these guys would stand up. They would have a video camera to videotape all of the goings on and all the shenanigans. And a guy would stand up and say, I offer $20 gold with this $20 gold piece legal tender. And that, because you're offering gold, is an actual constitutional Article 1, Section 10 offer. So there you go. And then you have paperwork. You just march into the courthouse right there, and you file against the banker or the lawyer or whatever it is. You, a couple of months later, you go to court. And the judge will catch it. Why didn't you accept the offer? Good. It was just... There's... Actually, all right, we'll...
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Most guys freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows what's new.
Your body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. Heart's beating faster. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is mere insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
In the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan Baker. Welcome to the Crypt.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark, world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Of course, John Williams and the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. So, if anybody can do Darth Vader March, it's a bunch of ex-Nazis. No, we like the Viennese. I'm Austrian. So there we go. John Williams is 90 years old now. That's crazy. He's still out there doing stuff, and he's still at the Hollywood Bowl like every year. So there you are. All right, I had hoped we were going to do kind of a Wednesday law thing. But and I was hoping to have Vanessa Victorious, who wants her own show here, but if she can't connect with me on the phone. And what is it with these people? I mean, do quote, patriot sovereign citizen types, like, is the internet too much for them? Like me? Once again, they're all on Kashyyyk, living in a tree with a bunch of Wookiees and Ewoks and what have you. All right. I want to say hi to my buddy Hater, or Richard, who also is known as Hate R, H-A-R-T-R-R. So he always sends me fascinating stuff and very interesting things. So just to take a little jig of a dance through my brain and the odd emails that I get. Now, this is – you will be hearing this first. So bear with me on this. You have not heard this theory anywhere else. This is brand new, and this is a very interesting – this is my friend Richard, always known as Hater. So this might actually be true, that SCOTUS, now overthrowing abortion, was explicitly done as a cover-up. Now, it's not just a cover-up. It's also that someone inside SCOTUS decided that it was so important to leak this decision to the world, which has now led to, you know, riots and very pierced, tattooed, monstrous-looking women, most of whom seem to have escaped from a circus, actually, and they're out in front of the Supreme Court building, you know, raising a fuss as they are wont to do. So one of the interesting things is that for all these, okay, on the one hand, the Supreme Court has changed nothing. All right, this is the biggest blowhard, nonsensical order that I've ever seen. They may have overturned Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade was the flimsiest, most garbage ruling and most disastrous ruling I think the Supreme Court ever made. It was never about giving carte blanche abortion rights to everyone everywhere. Of course, they just passed something in California that you can basically get 9-month abortions. And I think somebody went out there and said, one of those funny interview things where, are you for abortions at 10 months? Yeah, if the woman wants it, it's all that other stuff. Although I do know a few people, I don't know, like George Norrie, who are perfect examples for the retroactive abortion poster child. Actually, his producer, Fat Tom Dumheiser, is probably the best the best poster boy for retroactive abortion I've ever seen. So, but I don't know why they don't have a group. This is what they need. Again, if I had money, if I was the king of the forest, and if I had some cash, I would totally put together a Mary Prankster, I don't know if you call it conservative, but a radical Sons of Liberty based on jokes. And so I would be up there up front with, you know, all my pals, girls as well, everybody, and basically a stand-up comedy troupe, an improvisational group, like the L.A. Connection or the Groundlings or something. And you go out there and you're so over the top and you pretend to be for, you know, what they're for. But, I mean, I would absolutely go out there with big signs that say, "We hate kids. Kill kids. Babies suck." Literally, you know, have the cover of the Beatles album that was only published in England, where it's got all the Beatles with, you know, bloody baby doll parts and all that. And you've got Paul, who's, I don't know if he was dead by that time or not, but they've got him stuffed in a trunk, which is supposed to be his coffin, and all that. By the way, I've got tickets to go see Paul McCartney, or Billy Campbell, which is his real name, because the real Paul McCartney, we all know, died on September 11th, 1966. But we got a better Paul McCartney. See, that was the thing. When he got replaced, he was actually better than the old Paul McCartney, who was only 5'8", and the new guy was almost 6 feet, who had green eyes, the new guy had brown eyes, and nobody noticed. So, but yeah, I'd be out there going, "Yeah, we hate kids, kill babies, yeah, chop them up, put them in a stew, you know, have a barbecue with, you know, a steak dressed up like a baby or something like that." I mean, it was just like, you know, because that's basically what they're for. They're radically for killing babies. Now, again, I infer it or again it, you know, there's the other argument on the other side. Man, we were debating this when I was in college. I did a whole paper, and we had to do a debate thing where you had to research the one side of abortion, which is interesting. And then, of course, the people were for it, the people were against it, and you had to do a whole debate on it. It was interesting because, again, I think the one that won the day was something I came up with, which was, all right, if you have a burning building, does the fire department have the right to bust into the building and save the people in the building. So in any situation, life trumps property. So the idea is that for women to basically claim that they're the house and that they want to kill the people inside the house. I don't know if I'm stretching it with this allegory here. But again, life trumps property. So these women are saying that, you know, I don't have time for a baby, or I don't want a baby, or I don't, you know, and you've been stupid enough to get pregnant with a baby when there's a zillion billion ways to not get pregnant. And just like Tupac says, by the way, I saw Tupac alive the other day online. Did you see that? Like, yo, man, I'm Tupac. I haven't gone anywhere. I've been sitting in my apartment the whole time. He just smoked a lot of weed, didn't feel like going outside. But they had a whole thing which looked just like Tupac. But as Tupac says, you know, a vest for you, Jimmy, in the city of sex. And, you know, Inglewood, up to no good. That's the song. So maybe we'll have to play that thing in California. Knows how to party. So, and that's basically the argument, that you've got a person living and growing inside of you. Therefore, your property is trumped by the life in you. So, and that's actually what I think won the debate. And of course, everybody else is like, no, it's, you know, my body, my choice. And notice they say this now. Now, it's, the fact that they're standing up now and saying, my body, my choice, when the government has just gone through 2 years of saying, no, it's not. Now, we demand that you be medically raped, mind you, because that's what it is. Somebody jams a needle in you. That's medical rape. And that you be raped with a bunch of chemicals that have never been approved by the FDA, have barely been approved by the CDC, where laws were passed that says you cannot hold Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson or Norco or, you know, whoever it is. You cannot hold them legally responsible, nor will we give you the records of any of this stuff as how it was developed for another 50 years, theoretically, hypothetically. So you have to say that so I don't get kicked off YouTube, because I'm like the only guy on earth in this whole movement that for whatever reason has not been kicked off YouTube, probably because I have a sense of humor and I show cat videos every now and then. We have a video up there which shows all our kittens who hated being locked up. They're Norwegian forest cats. And so we did a whole thing where they used to have a gate on their playroom, and they would go crazy and they just climb over the gate, throw themselves over the gate so they could go out to the rest of the house, because they're Norwegian forest cats and they have to go and with William the Conqueror and conquer England and Wales, you know, whatever, because that's just what they are, big fluffy cats. Greatest cats ever on earth, by the way. They are so smart and so wise and so spiritual. So, it's very strange. Okay. So here we go. We have pesky abortion stats. This is from my friend Richard. He says, we have pesky abortion stats prove the clot shot sterilized over half the women. And there is a report on what is happening to Roe v. Wade here. Now, let me remind you, one of the major forces behind global vaccinations, and the only person I've ever heard have the either stupidity or cojones or just the outrageousness of using the words global population control and vaccines in the same sentence, that he felt that by using vaccines, you could then, in fact, control the world population. Now, apparently, and by the way, that man is Bill Gates. Now, Bill Gates and Barack Obama and I'm sorry. Okay. You send me a thing? All right. Sorry. I'm taking a look at it. I don't even know how to read stuff on here. My wife's lovely mother is now in the hospital in intensive care, has been in intensive care. And because I hate to say it, but, you know, Mormons are all about obeying the government now. I mean, look at Mitt Romney, for God's sake. And she took the vaccination. And after she took the vax, all kinds of health problems. She's 86 years old, by the way. But she took the vaccination. She took all the boosters. She did, you know, all the way along. She could not see any of her children, including Melissa, for the last 2 years or so. And she's 86 years old. And I kept saying to Melissa that, you know, you should go up there. You should see her. You're not going to – you should appreciate them while you have them. Most people. My mother was absolute whore. But so I was trying to do, get away from my mom most of the time. I mean, I wanted to be adopted by the New York Jets because they don't beat anybody. But which makes no sense to Monty whatsoever because he doesn't know what American football is.
I got that reference.
Thank you. Okay. Well, that was the joke is this kid goes to court and he wants to divorce his parents. And the judge says, why? He says, because my mom beats me with a shoe and my dad beats me with a belt. Well, what about your grandparents? My grandma beats me with a hairbrush and my grandpa beats me with a stick. And he says, well, what do you want to do? He says, I want to be adopted by the New York Jets. Why? Because the New York Jets never beat anybody. So that's my one big football joke. The other football joke that's really good. Now, I'll try you here. I'll test you. How are Dallas, Texas and Brokeback Mountain the same?
I don't know. How are they the same?
They both have cowboys who suck.
I got that too.
Okay, that's a pretty good one. I don't know if you have any English sports jokes or not. I'd love to hear them. But the only other one I have is that, you know, what do you call a Las Vegas Raider fan driving a Cadillac Escalade?
I don't know.
You call it Grand Theft Auto. So, and when they used to play in Los Angeles, man, you went to a Raider game and you put your life on the line. You know, you better wear black and you better, there's like gangs that are dressed up like Raider fans. All right, so back to, I don't know how Raider fans and sports jokes have anything to do with abortion, but, all right, so they come out and, they overrule Roe v. Wade. Now, this was something that I had talked about and predicted. And the way behind this was is that initially when, Ruth Bader Ginsburg got pancreatic cancer. And I said, well, she's got a year with treatment and everything else because my mother died of pancreatic cancer. And they have a year with all the treatments and all the stuff. You basically get a year. When Rush Limbaugh announced that he had this particular type of lung cancer in January, whenever it was, I mean, I predicted that point. I said, well, he's got a year. He's going to die in a year. He died almost exactly a year to the day. So when Ruth Bader Ginsburg started getting sick, my prediction was, and I was actually making calls to JP, Jeremy Perrone, in Scotland, and he was recording me and putting it up on a website called alternativerealitydisorder.com, because that's what they accuse you of having. If you listen to programs like this, and if you believe in the Constitution and you believe in freedom, you have alternative reality disorder, literally what they call ARD. And if you'll notice in Soviet Russia, nobody was in the gulags in Siberia because they committed a crime. It's because if you did not agree with the communist system, you were considered insane. And once again, they were locking people up for ARD, alternative reality disorder, because it's like, well, I don't like Stalin. Well, then you must be crazy. So you're going to be killed or we're going to process and reprogram you somewhere in a gulag in Siberia. So, so the challenge here is that, I predicted that Amy Coney Barrett would be the next Supreme Court justice. Now, I made this prediction in December, and it took a year for Ruth Bader Ginsburg to die. And I don't know if everybody was shocked on this, but I was the one that predicted it. Matter of fact, I got a weird text today from somebody, you know, some psychotic woman, and a chauvinist, might say. And she was like, oh, your bitch nominee or something, banned something. And I was like, who the hell is this? And but I said it was Amy Coney Barrett. Predicting something like an earthquake or a fire doesn't mean you agree with the earthquake. Doesn't mean you went out and set the fire. It just means that this is what's going to happen. So I said Amy Coney Barrett is going to be the next Supreme Court justice, and she was. Now, I love taking on people that, oh, it's a Jewish conspiracy. Oh, the Jews are behind everything. Oh, it's some goddamn Jews. And first off, is nobody noticing that the Catholics have taken over everything? Does nobody notice that actually Joe Biden, I can't believe it myself, but Joe Biden is Catholic? And Joe Biden goes to visit the Pope. I'm not kidding. He poops his pants actually meeting the Pope. And he has to have a Secret Service guy follow him around with a big shoulder bag that's full of Depends everywhere he goes. And apparently it changes slacks. And I think he said this on an open mic where he's like, oh, sorry, I had a bit of an incontinent episode there, Holy Father. And the Pope is like holding his nose. Pope Francis is like, oh, please don't have it. Don't sit on the furniture. And, I don't know. I think he's from Argentina. So it would be like, don't sit on the furniture. I'm not exactly sure what accent to use for him. So, Anyway, but Nancy Pelosi is Catholic, believe it or not. Obviously, Schumer is Jewish, obviously. But now you've got five justices on the Supreme Court that are all Catholic. And I'm just not talking about Catholic. I'm talking Opus Dei Catholics. Opus Dei is the – they're like the fundamentalist Catholics, if there is such a thing. They're like the Billy Graham or Billy Graham or, you know, who else could I imagine? There's fundamentalists, what they call four-square churches, who are fundamentalist Christians, and they are all about just kind of studying just the word of the Bible. That was the church that I was massively indoctrinated into. It wasn't bad, actually. We studied with a guy named Bob Thieme, Reverend Bob Thieme out of Houston, Texas. He had Baraka Church in Houston, Texas. And my mother went crazy with this guy. And so we went from being, you know, good Irish Roman Catholics to then the progression being Protestants to then being Episcopalians, which, by the way, all the Bushes are Episcopalians. So you could actually talk about a maniacal Illuminati Episcopalian conspiracy to take over the world. But John Roberts is Opus Dei, as is Amy Comey Barrett, as is, again, there are five Catholics now on the Supreme Court. Sonia, sounds like a Mexican, Sonia Sotomayor. You've got, the one that looks like a shaved Bigfoot that Obama put in there, Lena something. I can never remember her name. But, she was the one that was Obama's pro-counsel in the White House. And her only job, I mean, she had one job in the White House as White House pro-counsel, and that was to protect Barack Obama from lawsuits regarding his Kenyan citizenship. One job. But then when he appointed her, and then he appointed Sonia Sotomayor, that basically got him off the hook. Got him off the hook because Clarence Thomas, who was the man that Obama feared the most, was all about putting a citizenship case in front of the Supreme Court. He's also, the two things that he's demanded the whole time he's been there, is that he wants a Second Amendment gun case to once and for all clear up whether or not Americans have the right to own guns. And I think they pretty much did that. And the other one he wanted was he wanted a tax case. So once and for all, they wanted to be able to put the dragon of the Internal Revenue Service back in a box. So there you go. Okay, so let's talk about the abortion thing. So the Supreme Court, now this is, once again, this is my friend Robert sent this. This is the first time you're going to hear this, as to whether or not this abortion ruling was explicitly done as a cover-up, because the Supreme Court has been complete crap on everything. And because John Roberts is the ringleader, and by the way, John Roberts is the one that picks every single one of the justices for the FISA court. And the FISA court meets, and there's no other way to put this. They meet underground. So they're literally an underground court. They're all appointed by John Roberts, who's the Chief Justice. And they are the ones that operate outside the Constitution and in secret, supposedly, to do what? Judge people that are guilty of espionage or what have you, but for things where the material cannot be exposed to the public for some reason. But he appoints all the justices on the FISA court, who have almost absolute power. And you've heard about this because they were trying to claim that all of Trump's various confidants, what have you, were all spies. And they were all working for the Russians, so they had to have the FISA court and, you know, do all this, even though, you know, the regular court system is perfectly fine for, you know, what we've got. But Roberts is the one that puts this together. Roberts was also the one that knew, flat out, that Obama was not a citizen and therefore could not take the Article 6 oath in the Constitution, which is for the President of the Republic. Now, there's the President, there's the Commander-in-Chief, which is, believe it or not, another office. There's the President of the Corporation, for which he goes into the Senate and he signs a bunch of paperwork, basically becoming supposedly the one of the main officers. Not even the owner, actually. Not even the CEO, but the main officers of the United States, which is listed in all federal laws and codes as being a corporation. I should pull up the actual law because I had it in front of me the other day. But it's actually a corporation. And then you actually have the President of the Republic. And this is where it gets interesting, because when you look up the United States, and there's two things. There's the United States, which is the corporation, and then there's the United States of America. And technically, it's these United States of America, with the U not being capitalized in that sentence. So it's these small U United States of America. That's the whole name of the country. But United States, if you look up the United States, it comes up with a Dun & Bradstreet number. And there's a website you can look this up on. It's called Manta.com is the name of it. M-A-N-T-A, which is like the fish, like a manta fish. And, it lists about 60 million, various corporations through down through the ages. And each one of them has a Dun & Bradstreet number and a corporate number and et cetera, et cetera. Now remember, when you have a corporation, who incorporates it? There's the power. So if you have to go to the government to incorporate your company, the government then supposedly is the one incorporating you. Therefore, they have power over you because they can then revoke your corporate status. There's things that you agree to. There's a whole body of laws and codes and what have you that when you want the benefits of having a corporation, you have to put those together. Here's the bombshell. Who is it that owns the United States Corporation? Who is the boss? Who is the CEO?
Live from the peak of Mount Warney, the most easterly point of Australia. Tune in to the Free Manatee Radio Show with your host, Spread Love, every Monday, 6 a.m. EST. On the show each week, we discuss realistic solutions to help you observe rather than take part in the globalist agenda. We will dig into the past to find solutions for the future. We will discuss the wisdom of Ayurveda, the science of life, for techniques for understanding and achieving personal health and longevity. Please join us every Monday on Studio A, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Free Manatee Radio broadcast with your host, Spread Love, on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
What the heck is the truth, Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio. I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. Mission one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. Journeys with you're listening to Revolution Radio. And now back to Sean David Morton. David Morton.
Universe.
Series. Supposedly Lucas took it over, and people are saying the new Obi-Wan series is not so good. And he jumps up, and he spins around, and cuts old Darth Maul in half. Which still doesn't stop him. Anyway, welcome to May the 4th be with you. And all the other fun Star Wars stuff. So there we go. All right, there. Trying to stop things here. All right, so who is it that owns the United States, or did own the United States? And if you actually look, and I just looked this up, and anybody could do it, but I looked up United States government, or the United States Incorporated, on Manta.com, and it said there was a 1500 Pennsylvania Avenue, which is the Capitol, the Congressional Building. It had three main executives who it did not name, actually enough, with 2.7 million employees. And it listed the owner and CEO of the United States Incorporated as Archbishop Derrick, D-E-R-I-C, R. MacLeod, you know, like from Highlander. because there can be only one. So, as the owner and CEO of the corporation we know of as the United States, now, of interest, on December 21st, which was the winter solstice, when you had an alignment with Galactic Center of, I believe it was 2019, this is when you actually had Donald Trump do a lot of interesting things on that day. And somebody must have been advising him as to why not only was it the solstice where there's supposedly an alignment with the with Galactic Center, which is a 27 degrees Sagittarius, which is Galactic Center is in the bow of the bow arm, if you will, or the bow of Sagittarius. Sagittarius looks like a big teapot. And so you have the centaur of Sagittarius, which is Chiron, and he's shooting an arrow. And the arrow is supposed to represent mankind, that we're pulled back, pulled back, pulled back. And then they release the arrow, and then mankind shoots forward, takes a quantum leap forward. So Galactic Center, what's known as the Black Sun, which is a light year across black hole, which sits at the center of the galaxy, is right in that space. And we actually found it at 27 degrees Sagittarius. We found it, I think, during World War II, when all the lights were turned out in major cities and what have you, supposedly for the Japanese in Los Angeles going to bomb us and what have you. They did it actually attack us once. They, I think, blew up a German submarine. I'm sorry, a Japanese submarine actually blew up one of the oil rigs off the coast of Santa Barbara. And that was it. You know, they could have invaded the entire West Coast, and they didn't. But we were doing radio telescopic things, and we found that this big signal actually came from there. But the other interesting thing is that if you understand the last 13 years between December 21st of 2012, you know, the date when the world was supposed to end, and of course what it really meant in the calendar was that our old viewpoints were ending, our old psychic enslavement by the media and by the powers that be and the hypnotic creature that they use, you know, the opium of the people, the modulated milk bottle that we call the television, that we started breaking free. We started basically leaving that behind, which is what led to Trump becoming president in the first place, because he was getting around the media and their nonsense and actually feeding people the truth. So, of interest, there's a 13-year period, and I keep bringing this up, but the 13-year period that lasts between December 21st of 2012 to December 21st of 2025. That's 13 years. And in this 13-year period, which is called the Night of the Jaguar, humanity is consumed. We're eaten by the cosmic jaguar. It's usually a big cat you see with its mouth open underneath Aztec and Mayan calendars. So we're being processed. We're being digested right now. It's splitting away everything. And at the same time, it's removing veils in consciousness. The Mayan calendar is fascinating to me because it's a consciousness calendar. It's a calendar of consciousness. And it shows that over the course of this almost 26,000 year cycle, which is when the Earth is rotating, it's when we complete our cycle around our central star, which is actually Alcyone in the Pleiades, because we're actually rotating around the Pleiades. And the Pleiades are interesting because you see them as seven stars, well, six actually. The bright star in the Pleiades actually blinked out 27,000 years ago, which is why Hindu Vedic astrology is based on a calendar that starts approximately 27,000 years ago, with the bright star in the Pleiades actually dimming. So you can see six stars with the naked eye. And with a pretty decent telescope, you can see the seventh one as well. But the legend is that was the princess who was either the main daughter of Atlas, who holds up the world, or the princess and the daughter of the king of Crete. And the legend of the Pleiades goes that Orion, who's a big, smelly, one-eyed giant, actually shows up, and they're having a contest as to who can win the hand of the princess of Crete. And he shows up and goes, I want some of that. And because he's big and smelly. And the princess went, ew, no way, Dad. And his father said, well, okay, look, he's a challenger. I got to be fair. And she goes, hey, but he's icky. He's got like one eye and he smells like, oh my God. And, so the king says, okay, I'll give him something impossible to do. He says, all right, I want you to kill all the lions and tigers in Crete. And he goes, okay. And he slinks off with his big club. And, takes him a couple of years, but he kills all the lions and tigers in Crete. There's no lions and tigers in Crete anymore. I guess they were swarming the place before. And he comes back with all the carcasses and all the furs and dumps them. And he says, there you go. Here's all the lions and tigers. And, you know, I challenge anybody to find a lion and tiger. They're all dead. And, King goes, sorry, sweetie. You got to marry this big, disgusting, hairy, smelly giant with the one eye. And she's like, no way, Dad. Come on, girls. So she takes her six handmaidens. She puts on her PF Flyers. Remember PF Flyers? Anybody hear PF Flyers? Remember when you got a pair of PF Flyers? You're like, man, I can fly. Look, I can jump higher. I can run faster. And PF Flyers. And, you know, now it's all New Balance, where the N stands for knowledge. And, or not for you. And, so she runs away, and they climb to the top of a mountain. And, of course, Orion is half naked by now, and his scabbard, quote unquote, is hanging down between his legs because he's going to rape them all. And they were all Vestal virgins, and they prayed to Zeus. And, of course, Orion, oddly enough, was also a demigod because he was part son of Zeus. But Zeus does not want them all getting raped and by this big smelly guy, even though it was his kid. And so he grabs them, he scoops them up, and he casts them into the sky. And that's what forms the Pleiades. All right, completely off track of what I was talking about. So, see, now I totally forget what I was talking about. Okay, radio telescopes. So on the 21st of, December of 2019 was exactly 6.5 years. It was the exact halfway point in the 13 years when now the veil has now come off the right and the left-hand sides of the brain. So it's so interesting because our brains are bicameral. And so we've got two brains. So I guess if you burn one out, you are functioning off the other side, mostly brain dead, and become, I don't know, a Democrat or something. But it's or a rhino Republican. I'm not sure which is worse. And so now for the first time in this 26,000-year cycle, one time we would have something on the male side of the brain, and so you had a goddess world, and everybody was making love, and everybody's running around naked, and there were dances, and everybody eats the fruit off the trees, and it's wonderful, and, you know, it's make love, not war, and then suddenly the veil comes down on the female side of the brain. So the male side is in power, so what happens, you have war, and the women become property, and it's just, so you have the male side of the brain usually rules for about 4,000 years. So you have a patriarchal society. Then for another 4,000 years, you have the matriarchal society. Then it's like, okay, you girls have had your fun, and, you know, the male side comes back again. So it was just interesting that we were halfway through the night. So you can actually say that was Mayan Christmas on that day. And what does Trump do? Trump actually signs the First Step Act, which then releases thousands of people from federal prison, or is in the process of doing it now. There's 126,000 people in the federal gulag. This is under the federal system now. The federal government has no constitutional right to do this. They took over drugs for some reason. Anybody that does meth, they all threw them. And by the way, all the white guys are in there mostly for meth. The black guys are all in there for crack. And one of the things that the First Step Act did was it shortened the outrage. And by the way, crack is just it's cocaine that they just cook with baby powder and some other junk in it. And of course, now they're putting fentanyl in it as well. And Raid, apparently. Literally, fentanyl, Raid, and cocaine, which is blowing people out. I saw guys that were now complete drooling vegetables, all black, by the way, who are now in hospice. And they were basically just waiting for these guys to die so they can, you know, dump them out the back or turn them into prison hamburgers. I think I'm kidding. And the other challenge to this was that the white guys are in there for meth, and they're child molesters. So somehow, some way, the chomos, as they were called, they took over the federal government took over the whole punishment to these disgusting child molester people. However, there's guys that actually did child molesting chomo stuff, and then there's guys that they call clickers. And the clickers, I don't know if you realize this, but the federal government actually maintains a ginormous cache of child pornography online. Now, if I found a bunch of child pornography and I found out my neighbors next door were doing it, and I somehow busted into their house and got like all the tapes of child pornography or whatever else, and let's say I took them to the cops and said, look, this is what these people are doing, they'd arrest me. They wouldn't go after the child pornographers because the police are all involved in that. They'd arrest me for having possession of child pornography. And there was a guy that I was briefly bunkmates with. He was a scientist. He was like a top-level scientist. And he clicked a bunch of this stuff, apparently a couple of times, and they busted in, and he got 15 years for viewing stuff online. And they totally set him up, by the way. You know, they sent him the links. They sent him the stuff. It's clear entrapment. However, there's real guys. There was literally a Catholic bishop in there who I myself and a couple of other people beat the hell out of a few times. He raped and molested 37 kids, and he got 37 years. He got a year per kid. So, you know, we were spitting on him, and he couldn't go in the shower by himself without a guard because we beat the hell out of him a couple of times. So, anyway, so going back to who owns the government of the United States, at that time, okay, Archbishop Derek McLeod, who was the Archbishop on Michigan and 4th Street, I called this guy like 60 times. I kept calling him on the phone saying, hi, it's Sean Morton from Strange Universe. I'd like to get you on my show. I'd like to, let's promote the Catholic faith, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's like, oh, no, he's in Ireland. Oh, he's having pancakes with the Pope today. Oh, you can't see him because he's out in Boys Town in Chicago. And I was like, I called and called and called. Never called me back. Never obviously got him on the show. But here's the other thing that Trump did. Trump on that day established the Space Force, which is now the sixth branch of government, which unfortunately the one thing that Wernher von Braun and the people that started the whole rocket system here were desperately wanting to stop was the weaponization of space. And I listened to a video today by a woman named Dr. Carol Rosen, and you should look her up and take a look at her video. She's got about a 20-minute video. But she was the personal assistant to Wernher von Braun. And she talked about being in a meeting in 1977 where they were planning Desert Storm. They were planning how they were going to invade Iraq. And then they said, the first thing was going to be the terrorists. And as you went down the line of what each threat was, and then Russia was going to be a threat, et cetera, et cetera. And she said that the final thing that they were going to do was weaponize space, put all these weapons in the air, and that they were going to use what she called was a hoax of an alien invasion from outer space. Now, my books, my Sands of Time books, are about exactly that, about them building space-based weapons and making sure the Earth doesn't flip over and protecting us from all enemies, foreign and domestic, those enemies being the foreign enemies being extraterrestrials. And Vladimir Putin made a statement that we're currently in contact with 27 alien races, three of which are actively trying to destroy us. He said this in a big meeting with Donald Trump. And I saw it on the TV, and I was like, I can't believe this. This is going to go away pretty quick. And he also told Donald Trump, he said, by the time you're done being president, you must tell the world what really happened on 9/11. And the reason they're terrified of Putin is that not only does he have all the goods on 9/11, because obviously Russian intelligence investigated this, but he's got film. He's apparently got film from space of what really happened to those planes. And again, if my theory is correct, all four of those planes were told to land at Andrews AFB, Andrews Air Force Base. It's interesting because the kind of plane it was had a passenger capacity of about 248. I'm just talking off the top of my head. 248. And all four planes had 222 passengers on them. So you could theoretically have landed all four of those planes for some emergency. It's easy. It was actually, and where was Dick Cheney this entire day? He was at NORAD in Colorado Springs over where NORAD is. And he probably just said, we need there's an emergency. We need you to follow these jets. We need you to land in emergency, maintain radio silence. So everybody did. And then the planes were switched midair. But here's the weird part, because, again, there was no plane in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. They claimed the plane went straight down, nose down, and There was no wreckage and no bodies, apparently, because it hit a coal mine and went into a coal mine. You can't make this stuff up. Then there was the Pentagon plane. What happened to that one? They've got video footage now showing clearly that it was a drone. It was a Global Hawk drone made by Global Atomics in San Diego. And that this thing was traveling 637 miles off the ground and blasted into the Pentagon, only left a 16-foot hole. It's interesting because you want to know about the connections of all these conspiracies. They brought in a whole bunch of doctors to supposedly do the autopsies and, you know, the morgue stuff and all this on supposedly all the bodies that were on that plane. Oh, where were they? Where are they? And the doctors that they used actually were out of the Smithsonian Institute. So the only thing that's weird about that, or weirder, it was not Washington, D.C. It was not the regular people. They brought in Smithsonian Institute doctors. They call them the bone doctors. And those same bone doctors, by the way, when was the last time the government used them? They used them in Waco. Because they didn't want to tell you that they pumped CS gas into the buildings at Waco. And the women and children were all running out the back. And as they were running out the back, there was a man named Lon Hirachi, who's a mass murderer. And this guy is a decorated officer of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. It was Lon Hirachi who was the guy who took the kill shot on Vicki Weaver at the Ruby Ridge standoff while she was nursing her baby. And she poked her head to see what was going on out the window. Not even out the window. She's in the house and she's looked out the window. And Lon Hirachi blew her brains out. And guess who stepped in to save his life and save his career and make sure he wasn't charged for that? Well, it was our good buddy Bill Barr. Yeah, the hero, the man that refused to, who came out and said, oh, there was absolutely no fraud in the election. And of course, God bless you, Dinesh D'Souza, because I believe his movie came out today, I think his 2000 Mules movie, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt. And it took a filmmaker to do this, like Dinesh, that these 2000 Mules stuffed all the ballot boxes in all these states. The election was only decided by 400,000 votes, I think, 400,000. And there was like well more than that just in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania had 2.6 million votes cast, and they only sent out like 1.8 million. So anyway, I digress on all this stuff. But what Trump did on that day was interesting because he began to free the federal prisoners, started giving them work time credits, started releasing, you know, a mass release of these guys. Now, when he first signed it, there was only 3,300 people that were released. Out of 126,000, there's 126,000 that are actively incarcerated. And the federal government has its thumb on over 260,000 people who are either on release or on home confinement or under probation or being forced to pay ridiculous restitution or are being charged with enhancements. Which, of course, is not in the law. The law says, you know, here's your crime, here's your time. But now judges are stepping in going, oh, well, he made a face while he did it, or, oh, you know, he laughed, or, oh, it was done with this. And so they do all these enhancements, none of which are in the law, by the way, and all are illegal. But, you know, that's the way it goes. So did the Space Force, did the thing where, and again, he only released like 3,300 people, of which, of those 3,300, almost all of them were black. Because they were all getting out of the crack stuff. They didn't let any white meth guys go. Although how meth is more dangerous than crack, because white guys are still doing 15 to 20 years. Meth guys, now it's been reduced to like 3 to 5. So all these black guys, you know, on meth or on crack, we're all getting out. But of the 3,300 people they released, 1,800 of those people went directly to ICE. And then ICE came along and they didn't let them go. They handed them over to their mother countries. All right, so here's the let's get into the Roe v. Wade thing from run out of time. Why have pesky abortion stats prove the clot shot sterilized over half the women? There is a report on what is happening to Roe v. Wade here. So I want to thank you, Hader. Thank you, Robert, for sending this. My comment, he says, this is him speaking. The Supreme Court is making desperate stabs at legitimacy after enabling and abetting the theft of the election. And this is an extreme example. By the way, this was supposedly one of the clerks, the same one of the clerks that they're now accusing of leaking information about the abortion thing. The music. About the abortion thing, who supposedly was listening at the door when Roberts was screaming at the rest of the Supreme Court and saying, we can't do this. We can't get involved in this. They will riot. They will burn this place down if we get involved in this election thing. And it was funny because Clarence Thomas was the only one that was standing up to this child molesting cannibal, you know, John Roberts, allegedly. And he's like, I ain't afraid of you. I ain't afraid of you. And I said, we should take this on. It's our responsibility. We're the Supreme Court, God damn it. We're supposed to be looking at stuff like this. No, you can't do this. Oh, they'll be rioting. They'll burn this place down. So anyway, so going back to the quote, this was also done to cover up how many women were rendered sterile by the clot shot. They cannot have that show up in the abortion statistics. You can assume the court has nothing good at play here and that they did this to fake legitimacy and do a further cover-up. They will probably let the states decide also. They probably figure they have the population they want destroyed adequately, wiped out by the fact. And since virtually all the women...
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses eating and drink themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it, son?
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We sail off into the evening here in the last half hour of Strange Universe tonight. And by the way, I thought tonight was going to be easy. I thought I was going to just put a couple of quarters in my guests and let them blab away. But, of course, like usual, they don't show up. Or they're listening and can't get a hold of them. Can't figure out how to figure this out, so... I should just have this playing in the background for my entire show. I think it should just be... And now I, Sean David Morton, stare into the double sunsets on Tatooine. Wonder if my girlfriend will strangle me with a chain someday like she did Jabba the Hutt. All right. That's funny. It says, Rise of Skywalker, Lucasfilm and director J.J. Abrams, jerk, joined forces once more to take viewers on an epic journey, barf, to a galaxy far, far away with Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. I'm sorry. The whole time she wasn't a Skywalker. She's a Palpatine. She's the little bitch spawn of the evil Emperor. But I guess that means that she's got midichlorians and she's part of the family. But come on, you kill off Han Solo? Really? Oh, come on. All right, so there you go. All right, so let me finish the rest of this thing. I've been doing this whole rant on the abortion stuff. So, okay. So here we go. There's an extreme example. This is also done to cover up... Okay, the comment. The Supreme Court is making desperate stabs at legitimacy after enabling and abetting the theft of the election, which they absolutely did. John Roberts is like, we can't rule on this. We can't do anything about, oh, there'll be riots. They'll burn this place down. Bloody. And Clarence Thomas is like, I ain't afraid of you, you punk, you chomo cannibal. So this was also done to cover up how many women were rendered sterile by the clot shot. They cannot have that show up in the abortion statistics. You can assume the court has nothing good at play here and that they did this to fake legitimacy and do a cover-up. They will probably let the states decide also, which they have. They probably figure they have the population right where they want them, and they want them destroyed adequately wiped out by the vax. And since virtually all the women who were vaxxed are now sterile, who needs Roe v. Wade? Their mission has been accomplished. Who needs abortion clinics anymore when the only women that can get pregnant now were smart enough to avoid the vax and would never get an abortion anyway? Canned Parenthood is going belly up so that they might as well ban abortion before the abortion stats show how many women were rendered sterile by the vax. Now, Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, she was a genocidal maniac. Her whole thing, I mean, has anybody just read stuff that Margaret Sanger has? Her whole thing was to wipe out Negroes. She wanted Planned Parenthood clinics in every black neighborhood to basically, quote, stem the black menace, to stem the Negro population. And that just murdering them in the womb was the way to do that. And let me just, before I read the last part of this thing here, when Bill Gates, who suddenly becomes Dr. Bill Gates and now working on a totally crappy computer system, and by the way, to show you what a genius Bill Gates is, Bill Gates said, my Microsoft computers now can operate at 486K. 486K. Your watch has that in it now. And he says, that's as far as we'll go. That's the ceiling. That's as fast as computers will get, is 486K. If you remember, the original 486K computers were the little, I think, Mac boxes that first came out in, what, 75, 77? So Bill Gates went into Africa and started this entire vax thing. This was some years ago. People forget this. This entire vax thing he started in Africa. And in Africa, what happened was is the tribesmen, the Zulus, turned on him, dragged all the doctors out, murdered them all, and then burned the clinics to the ground. Why? Because their women were experiencing miscarriages. The women were becoming sterile. The men were becoming sterile as well. But they became barren and all this. And finally, they figured out what it was. Same thing happened in India. As a matter of fact, he was spreading a vaccine in India. I'm pretty sure it was polio vaccine. 475,000 people died in India. A mass murder in the hundreds of thousands actually died of these bogus crap vaccines that he was peddling in India. And the Indians eventually made it illegal there too before they beat up the doctors and burned the clinics down. Let me also point out, India was founded by Mahatma Gandhi. And Gandhi was one of the first who was an attorney before he got very skinny. And people say, if you had a chance to have dinner with anybody ever in history, who would it be? And I say, absolutely, it'd be Gandhi, because there'd be more for me. That was terrible. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Jesus, and I'm very sorry, Buddha, and to the 22 million Hindu gods for telling that terrible joke. So, but Gandhi wrote the first book or pamphlet against vaccines and about how horrible they were and the fact that no Hindu should take them because especially the polio vaccines were using cow pus to make the vaccine. So you're going to go – your whole religion is around not eating cow. As a matter of fact, I was driving around the streets of India where I would have drivers do it because I could never drive in India. I learned how to drive in Cairo, Egypt, where you just take the rearview mirrors off your car. Because you're swapping paint with everybody down the road. If you get in an accident, everybody jumps out.
You get in a punch up. You slap each other in the face, and then everybody goes and, you know, gets tea and smokes a hookah, and everybody's fine. So, and Gandhi was the very first person who was anti-vaccination, and certainly anti-vaccination because the polio vaccine, again, was basically they would inject cows with the disease and then take the pus from the cows and then turn them into vaccination. They burned down a McDonald's in Delhi, and tens of thousands of people. It was their number one food, going to McDonald's. Obviously, they were not selling hamburgers, but people were massively addicted to the French fries. Now, the French fries, there's a whole thing on that too, that these French fries are like food from outer space. They're not even. I saw somebody take a Big Mac and pour molten lava on the Big Mac. It's YouTube. Other ones. And the damn thing wouldn't melt by pouring lava on it. So I guess if you're a virgin and being thrown into a volcano somewhere, you can take a bag lunch at McDonald's. But these French fries are some kind of mutant food or something, and they can last like a million years, like a Twinkie. And they discovered that they were actually cooking the French fries in beef fat. That the oil that they were using was actually cattle based. And they went crazy. They started tearing McDonald's down. You guys remember this? They started burning the McDonald's to the ground because they were tricked into eating these French fries, thinking they were just potatoes, when they were actually being done up in beef fat. So Mahatma Gandhi was one of the first ones who was major anti-vax about this. And again, the lowest child mortality rate in the world is Japan. And they do not allow any vaccinations of their children, none, until the age of 5. Now, I think by the time you get shot out of the tube and leave the hospital, I think you have somewhere to the tune of about 56 vaccinations of some kind, all at once. And Trump, if you remember, when he was running for president, back when he was appearing to be a good guy, was actually an anti-vax guy. It's just... His son, Barron, actually had a bad reaction to a series of vaccines, which is why many people think that Barron is now autistic because of, you know, the vaccines and vaccinations. And so now Trump becomes, and please remember, it was Trump that sicked this on you. It was Trump that first talked about the Wuhan virus in front of the Congress. It was the Democrats like Nancy Pelosi that were laughing in his face, saying this is no big deal. And then suddenly they figured out a way to win the election. By having people not show up at the polls. And then Stacey Abrams, who I should probably have, I should probably get a hold of one of her porno books and actually read some of it on the air. One of the funniest things I ever played was actually, and I was really sad when he died, but the late, great Gilbert Gottfried. If you remember Gilbert Gottfried, he's an amazing comedian, one of the funniest people I've ever seen. And Gilbert Gottfried died just recently after getting the vaccination, I might add. And, he was reading portions. I had recordings of him reading portions of Fifty Shades of Grey. And it's like, slowly the whip came down on me and I trembled like a vice. I got to find it, play for it. But I should actually do this stuff with Stacey Abrams because all she does is fix elections and write porn. And she now wants to be governor of Georgia. And she was brought up on charges on all this. And, gee, guess who let her go? Her sister, who happens to be a judge, like a federal judge, I think. And her sister let her go. Said, oh, I understand. Oh, it's all good. You're okay, Stacey. So this is Bill Gates. You know, the Dr. Gates, who suddenly become a doctor. And by the way, it was Trump that sick Fauci on you. Remember, he gave him all that time, like 4 hours every day on TV. He got to the point where people got sick of hearing him talk. And then there was the scarf lady. I have no idea. I can't even remember who she was. But she wore this big scarf around her neck the whole time. And then they gave us the masks and they gave us all this. Now Trump, and I might also point out that Trump did his whole Operation Warp Speed to develop this vaccine in time. And then suddenly Pfizer decided, nah, we're not going to release it until after the election. Which was a pretty dirty trick considering he shot them billions of dollars to do this. But we have proof. I mean, I have photographic evidence that AstraZeneca had vaccines ready to go back in 2017, I think. I show it in my lectures. By the way, I'm going to be in San Francisco this weekend, so please come. It's check out the website and the Facebook page. Somewhere in San Mateo, I think, but it's at a hotel there. And you got to check out the Facebook page because Melissa's the one that organizes this stuff. I, you know, even today I had some bad incidents where I was dizzy and falling over. But they overturned Roe v. Wade for the explicit reason that the abortion statistics are going to plummet due to how many women are barren thanks to this vaccine. They did it in Africa. They did it in India. It was Bill Gates that did it. This guy, I don't know, he just needs to be taken out and hung. I'm sorry. Somebody, I mean, rope's cheap and there's lots of trees. So at some point, some way, people are going to catch on to the level of Hitlerian, of Dr. Mengele, heinous evil of these people, of Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci and you know, Mark Zuckerberg and Dr. Evil himself, Jeff Bezos, who, again, wants a base on the moon like Dr. Evil. I'm sure has a little miniature clone of himself walking around. And Dr. Evil had a spaceship that looked like a penis. And, of course, Bezos has a spaceship that looks like a penis. Is nobody seeing the connection here that Austin Powers is one of the greatest prophets of the 21st century? But how many women can't get pregnant anymore after the vax? And they don't want people asking questions. So to cover it up, they banned abortion. It's as simple as that. Now, this did not come out of the goodness of their black, evil, cannibalistic hearts. It was explicitly done as a cover-up. Fact. The death jab clot shot put the abortion industry out of business anyway. So why not lie and say you banned abortion, and that makes up for the stolen election, you gain brownie points, plus cover up the fact that the women who would have had abortions can't get pregnant anymore anyway. So good luck for you. For all you women that you're yelling and screaming, at first you yelled, it's my body, it's my choice. And then people told you, no, it's not. It's the government. And the government's going to fine you if you don't get their jabs and get their, and they're going to isolate you and they're going to put you in prison. They did to you, the population of America over the last two to three years, what they did to me. Locked us up. So if you see this posted elsewhere, it was posted here first, and it will be posted elsewhere because this move is too damn obvious. They do not have the goodness in their hearts for such a ruling absent of nefarious reasons, and the clot shop covers up that reason. Let me give you one other thing here. Again, it was very clear that Margaret Sanger set up the entire abortion industry with Planned Parenthood, and her stated goal was to reduce the Negro population, was to kill as many blacks as she could kill, using abortion by putting these clinics in primarily black neighborhoods. And why the American, African Americans, why Negroes in this country stood for this and didn't rise up like the Hindus, like the Africans in Africa, and burn these clinics to the ground when they were executing their own people. So let me give you a statistic here. And I don't want to sound like some kind of white supremacist Nazi or anything like that. I mean, it's like skin color only matters when, well, it's once you learn what people are about. Because here's the problem. People are people. People are great. It's good fun to know them. But you put people in groups or gangs, like troops of monkeys or baboons or whatever, that's when they get really irrational. And so here's my point for all of this, is that if you look at the global population and you look at the world population that is closing in on 8 billion now, and, of course, the population began to rise spectacularly right after 1900. You had improvements in medicine. You had the electrification of the world. You had the light so you know, people could, I don't know, stay up and fool around later at night or whatever. But for whatever reason, at the beginning of 1900, you have a massive increase in the population of the world beginning with the 20th century. Now, there was a massive culling of men and animals as well, because, again, you had the Russian communists come to power as the Soviets, and they murdered over the course of 79 years, which is how long their empire lasted until the West finally just pulled their credit cards, and they couldn't afford to keep Eastern Europe enslaved anymore. And so the Berlin Wall came down, and that was the end of the Soviet Empire. Now that Vladimir Putin is in power, Vladimir Putin, I didn't say it, Nathaniel Rothschild said it. Nathaniel Rothschild said he is public enemy number one to the New World Order. Nathaniel Rothschild just made another statement saying should Putin win, the New World Order as we know it will cease to exist without the Ukraine, because they were running their drugs, they were running their children that they were chopping up for adrenochrome, or basically eating their pineal glands. Same thing that the worshippers of Amun did in Egypt, as an example. But trillions of dollars being laundered through Ukraine. Drug money, all kinds of other. Why is it every single major Democrat, Pelosi, Biden, John Kerry, all these people, every single one of their kids has some kind of weird account in Ukraine where they're siphoning off money to give to their scummy politician parents? You know, 10% goes to the big guy. And by the way, it just out of spite, the Republicans are going to take over the House and the Senate, probably in the biggest red tsunami I think you've ever seen. When Obama got in, and again, everybody thinks that he was all big popular guy, along with being probably next to Biden was the worst president we've ever had. And Bush as well. But whenever Bush did everything, it was for George Bush. It was for him and his family. And when Obama got in, he lost the House and the Senate in 2010. And they called it a walloping, a shellacking, because he lost the greatest number of House and Senate seats. It was 62. Right now you have 32 Democrats who are retiring rather than face their constituents in the fall midterm elections. And the projections now are that the Republicans will take probably a grand total of 80 plus seats in the House and recontrol the Senate with 10. And if you don't think that they're going to start passing resolutions to impeach Uncle Joe, to force Uncle Joe to walk away due to his health, leaving Kamala in charge. Oh my God. Kamala Harris in charge of the government. That cackling hyena. Oh my God. So, but I mean, they're going to impeach him. I mean, it's just is what it is. So, and again, my prediction has been from the jump that, well, it's, you can't, he's going to be impeached, and he's not going to, my prediction is that, and this is what was weird, because I predicted that as soon as Trump came down the escalator, I predicted that he would be the president of the United States. But in 2020, I kept saying he wins the election, but he doesn't serve. He doesn't die in office. And anybody that's elected in 2020 is somehow going to die in office. Now, there are some people that think that Trump might shock everybody and actually run for Congress.
And now the sound of Nancy Pelosi at Gitmo being hung by the neck until dead.
As Speaker of the House, I solemnly and sadly open the debate on the impeachment.
Stop it, Cindy Lauper. Time after time. All right, there you go. Wait, here's one more, because in order to clear things
and
out,
now,
you need this to happen.
The sound of Kamala Harris at Gitmo being hung by the neck until dead.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing in that time.
Oh, my God, that's fun. Thank you, JP, for putting that in. So, yeah, there you go. Okay, stop it, Cindy Lauper. So I'm running this all by myself here. So anyway, so as that happens, and let me run this last stat for you before we run out of time. If you look at the white female population of the world, like I said, about 8 billion people on the planet, but you understand that of those people, there's, as far as the white race goes, oh my God, they're going to call me a Nazi or something. White women, who are between the ages of 16 and, let's call it 30 at the outside, let's say 25. But white women who were of birthing age only make up 2% of the population. 2% of the global population. So I'm just saying that from a standpoint of not becoming extinct, they were, I mean, they're saying by 2050, blondes will no longer exist. They're going to go the way of the Triceratops, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, and white cornerbacks in the NFL. Okay. So they're, hey, there you go. I got Monty to laugh. Okay. Monty lives way on the other side of the world. He is the handsomest man south of the equator. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, Betamax, but you know. Yeah, I like the white quarterback ones because it's true.
Yeah, exactly. There's none left. I mean, find me a white cornerback anywhere in college or the NFL. They're gone. There's none of them. There's lots of white quarterbacks. As a matter of fact, there's a couple that aren't, but it's Jameis Winston and all that. But anyway, just saying. So, well, it's been a fun show. Thank you, Monty, for sitting in. It's really been nice to have you keep me company because I'm out here all alone in the dark with the 13 people that listen to my program.
I'm glad to be here.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We'll try to sort it out. And anyway, shout out to Robert Kelly and Vanessa Victorious. And sometime, some way, we'll figure out the thing so I can actually have a guest on the show. And we're going to set up a separate line so you folks can call in so I can talk to you. But anyway, it is Revolution.Radio. I'm going to be this week. It was Thank Universe.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. 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 Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war.